Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Scott O, I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
You know, Scott, just before the show, or just before I got here, I was listening on the cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
You can call in on the...
Maybe I should turn those on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oops.
Speaking of which, let the callers on the phone here. But yeah, I was listening on the cell phone before I got here late.
Yeah.
And you had said that Tim, the Bigfoot Hunter, is going to be on... Is that true on Encounters?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to listen to that. Because we love Encounters. Those are our best buddies.
Well, you know...
But Tim Holmes is the man, too.
Yeah.
People have their opinions of him, and we do too.
Yes.
But I think somebody who knows this field, I mean,
I've Bigfoot hunted with him.
You've worked with him.
I have.
So you have personal experience.
I do.
We need to get personal experience with our next guest, though.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for that wonderful segue.
I had to mention that, though, because I was really, really excited about that in the car. I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no clue. I was so excited. However, I did have to mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Jana Hollingsworth is a gifted intuitive coach and medium. She is also a well-known author who has written many articles on metaphysical subjects. She has a weekly column on the www.bridgetwalther.com astrology site where people write in questions about their lives, and she answers them through the guidance and wisdom of her spirit guides. She's known as the Dear Abby of the Spirit World. The website is www.janahollingsworth.com. I'm going to spell that JanaHollingsworth.com. It's all run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything. And, of course, a permanent link will be put up at www.ghostlytalk.com. Jana, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Now, yeah, we were making jokes before the break that we need plenty of life coaching, so we're glad you're here.
Yes,
we are. I can tell.
we're a complete wreck. We need help. We're glad you're here to get us through, at least get us through this show without killing each other.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be so much fun if you guys weren't a big train wreck, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
if we had our everything was clearly cut out and we had a checklist or whatever to do.
Oh my God, that's so boring.
It would not be the same.
Isn't that what makes life fun, though, Jana, is that, yeah, you have to have some chaos thrown in with all the organization to make it interesting, correct?
Well, absolutely, and especially if you're dealing with ghosts. You know, you can't just be, you know, boring and logical all the time.
Sometimes you do have to keep everything wide open and hope that those weird things do happen. Anomalies. We're looking for anomalies, essentially.
Yeah.
So you're looking for those anomalous things.
How'd you get into this type of work, though, Jana? I'm just curious about that.
Well, you know, I grew up with a psychic mom.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh.
And scary at the same time. It's like, no, I wasn't out too late.
Yes, you were, and you were with those people I told you not to be with.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like that so much.
But, you know, it was actually a lot of fun because as I got older and, you know, was starting to date, I would come home and I would literally, my mom would always say, okay, now, Jana, when you meet these guys, all I need to know is their first name and their age. And then she could tell me all these really random facts about them. So I could be out on a first date and I would just know, you know, all these bizarre things like, oh, so your mom's a nurse and she lives in Florida and you have a you have a twin brother by the name of Steve, and I know all these really bizarre facts, and they'd be like, I just met you last night. How is your dad a private detective? Or
like, Jana the stalker lady. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, really.
How did you
possibly
No offense, but that'd be
a quick dinner, though. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's why I never heard from somebody. Like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. That would scare me. So your mom was psychic. You grew up with your mom was a psychic, so that obviously was very interesting. Where do we go from there then?
Basically from there, my dad died when I was in my early 20s. He had lung cancer. But 3 days after he died, he came to me in the middle of the night, and literally I was sound asleep. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I felt somebody sitting at the end of my bed shaking my ankle. And I look up, and I see my dad sitting there clear as day, and he said, just wanted to let you know I'm okay, made it safely, you're going to be fine. And, you know, of course, I went screeching down the hall into my mom's, you know, room saying, oh, my God, dad's in my bedroom. And that was the actual first encounter with the spirit.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then it just, I guess he sort of opened up that portal for me, and it just sort of blossomed from there.
And that was your first encounter with a spirit, am I correct?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. And before then, it was sort of like, you know, having predictive dreams and just knowing things and, you know, that kind of stuff, but not actually communicating with spirits.
Oh, I'm glad the first time was, you know, with, you know,
a familiar face.
A familiar, yeah, somebody familiar.
Yeah, and me too.
Even though you went screeching down the hallway, like you said, it would be startling, obviously, but at least it was
startling. I see my dad now, he's alive.
Yeah.
That would be.
So if he was sitting on the end of my bed now, I'd be a little nervous.
Yes, I would be scared.
I'm 33.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just going to read this book to you.
But, you know, I have to tell you, after that experience, when I started, speaking with the spirits and all that, mm-hmm. I said, you know, I love chatting with you guys, but I'd really rather not see you. You know, I don't want to be sitting at my desk and having someone's dead grandmother pop by and, you know, say hi. So that's kind of how I communicate with them now. We do it just like you and I are talking,
mm-hmm.
and I hear them just as clearly, you know, as we're speaking now. And I've kind of kept it that way where, you know, I'd rather not really see them appear in front of me, but chatting is perfectly fine.
So this is like, I mean, you just hear these voices then. You don't see, you prefer not to see anything. You
Correct.
Just hear these voices.
Correct. And as my spirit guides always say to me, they always call me a scaredy cat, and I'm like, you're absolutely right. I'm like, you know, I don't need to see you. You know, talking to you is great, but I don't need to see you.
Well, how does it work then? Like, if somebody writes in a question, right?
Yep.
And then you talk to your spirit guides, and then maybe a relative or something of the person asking might have an answer or something. Are they prophetic, or are they do they just pretty much give advice? I mean, how does it work?
You know, I always say that, you know, on my business card it says intuitive coach, because the information that comes through when I do my readings with people is really just like, it's life coaching from the other side. It's not really like, oh, I have your dead Uncle Harry here, and he said he left you a watch when you were three. You know, it's not that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when people write in and they're asking questions about their life, you know, the guides come right in and talk about, this is what you need to do, this is what's going on with you, this is why it's happening, and these are the changes that you need to make in order for the situation to get better. So it's very practical, logical, you know, advice, but coming from their perspective and what they see in your life going forward.
Okay.
Interesting. I like
this
that.
This is what I like to hear, Jana, because I got to be blunt here for a second. And I was discussing this with some people, with some of our friends a couple weekends ago. We were somewhere talking to someone who was giving a presentation. I'm going to be very vague about this.
Thank you.
Okay.
But they were giving a presentation. And one of the people in the audience came and said, you know, well, she was like, I'll take some, you know, questions. If you'd like me to give you a reading or, you know, tell you something, just put your hand up and I'll come see you. So a young lady raised her hand in the crowd and said, you know, I'm pregnant, which it was obvious she was pregnant. She had a belly. She had a little thing going there. And she's like, I'm pregnant and I want to know what my child has to say. Does my child have anything to say? Which, okay, that's cool. I mean, I don't think they can't really speak when they're born. But okay, let's see what happens. So the lady walked up, and you'll see my point when I say this. She walks up and she gets on one knee and says, you know, the girl's name was, let's just say her name was Jennifer or something like that.
Okay.
Who had the baby, and she's like, Jennifer, your baby says love me unconditionally. Okay.
Okay, yes.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? I mean, that's an obvious thing. There's, like, no science behind that. I mean, I don't mean science as in, like, you know, zeros and ones, but there's no thought behind that. Like, we know that's right. What you're supposed to do. I think if a baby could talk, they would say that. Hey, can you please love me unconditionally, which includes feeding, clothing, all those fun things, right? Because that's how they survive growing up.
Right. And right. Please don't be a lunatic parent. When
yeah,
I'm
right.
Yes.
These are all givens, right? So yep. Practical information that you can actually use in life is... That's what I'm looking, you know, when I, the rare time I do see speak to sensitives and stuff like that, it's refreshing to hear that. Like, okay, this is practical information. This isn't, and I'm sorry, I don't really want to come off with a jerk.
You know, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, when I do the readings for people, it's very much like, you know, they can come in and say, mm-hmm. okay, well, you know, I'm marrying this guy and this and that. My guides who are looking at this girl like she's nuts going, okay, this guy is a pathological liar. He's been cheating on you for the last 3 years. He's not in love with you. You already know this, and you're marrying him because, you know, I mean, they're very sort of blunt with,
money.
You know, with the info.
He knows you have money. That's why he's marrying you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's practical. I mean, it's not positive. It's not the information you necessarily... Well, it's always said, like, you know, a lot of times the truth isn't always what you want to hear.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, along with that, though, they always give, which is why I love working with the guys I have, because they always give homework assignments to people. So in order for you to move forward in this situation, let's start off by you doing this, this, and this. So mm-hmm. since you're not really ready to leave him yet, even though, you know, in your heart, you know, this isn't the right person for you.
Yeah.
Let's start
put
off
a
by
shocking collar
this
on him. And then whenever whenever he lies or cheats, you shock him.
You know, a little arsenic in the coffee in the morning.
Let me keep him home.
You know, this is very practical information, I have to say.
I like that. You have good guides.
But you're trying to, it sounds like, you know, what you're, yeah, as far as, you know, what you're trying to do to help this person out, Jana, is, yeah, give them practical information like we said already. But, yeah, you're not, obviously not going to be ready to let this person, you know, to just leave this person. That's hard to do.
It's hard to do. And a lot of people, if they're sitting in front of you and you know they're not ready to do that, how do you help them through until they're ready? You know, so mm-hmm. it's very down to earth, you know, this is how you do it, these are the steps I would take, you know, and whatever it is, so that they leave here going, okay, at least I have a plan now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have something to think about, it made sense to me, and I always say to people, if it resonates with you and it makes sense to you, then take the advice and run with it, and if it doesn't, then don't, you know,
yeah.
as it is.
Jana, I didn't warn you about this part, but I think we have a question from is that what's going on, Amber?
Yeah.
We have a question from
is that what all that waving?
Yeah, she was losing her mind over here, and I'm like, would you leave us alone?
Throwing things at us.
Would you mind
bring
if...
Bring it on.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic.
No, Terry from Virginia Paranormal, I don't know if you do readings like this on the air, but she said, ask who was playing the organ in my guest room the other night.
That was me, Terry.
Oh,
I was
actually,
over.
Actually, we should go down to Terry, Virginia Paranormal's house. And visit for a couple of nights, and we'll set up recorders,
you know,
and we'll play this, you know, because it sounds like a ghost.
We'll jam.
Sounds like a ghost hunting opportunity to me. It sounds like
Terry.
It does. It sounds like fun, actually.
I don't know how this works. How you do this? So is this?
No, is that? I mean, that's a real question. They want to know who was playing the organ in the house the other night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you very first said that. The first energy that came through, that it was a deceased male, it feels like a father figure. Mm-hmm. So either a father or grandfather feels like they were coming through, and definitely the energy was really strong in that room, wherever the organ was.
Interesting.
It was definitely older male, deceased, either dad or grandfather, either one of those.
I'm just curious, like, when you get a feeling or that information comes, I mean, what do you... I've asked this question before, and I can never ask this question properly. Like, what are you perceiving? What are you feeling? What do you? I mean, how
you know
does
what?
It, what do you put out?
It'll give me a. It'll tell me, you know, the first thing it said when she asked, when I heard that question, was father or grandfather. That was just the first words that came through. Mm-hmm. And then it says it also, and I mean, it was definitely male energy, so it was something that I feel as well.
Okay, all right.
So the sensation of, you know, it wasn't like a light female type of energy. It was definitely more dominant male energy, and older generation passed over dad or grandfather.
Okay, all right.
And I do have to tell you, just real quick and along with that question,
This
is not the first time that spirit has been there, because it feels like that spirit comes and visits very often.
Mm,
and for some reason, particularly seems to stay around that particular room.
This is an organ?
I am so excited,
Amber.
Yeah.
We need to set up.
It's Dracula.
Recording. It's We need to set up a recording equipment in that room.
Well, let
Terry get
Terry,
on that.
Terry, get on that. What are you doing?
And you send us
the
recording.
Well, you need to call the ghost hunters, whatever they're called, to come out.
Yes, we should. Actually, I want first crack. Though.
Yeah, we can do it.
That would be fun, actually.
Did you ever get, like, for example, there's things that, you know, I'd like to be able to do, but can't. Like, I can't sing, for example. I'm the worst, but, I mean, you'd believe me. But
could do karaoke, though.
It's not like I want to sing, but there are things that I want to do. Like, I don't want to go walk on the moon, but it's something that's physically impossible for me, right?
Right.
There are things that I want to do, but I'm just not going to be able to, right? I can't. Mm-hmm. It's not within my realm. I cannot become a brain surgeon, you know, whatever. Did you ever get somebody who says, I want to know, you know, can I get my, you know, become a doctor? Can I become, you know, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do whatever my dream is, right? And then the answer comes through is like,
hell no.
Oh,
no,
goodness.
Are you kidding? There's... You're an idiot. You never
knew that. Yeah, they're going to be. Sorry, you're just not cut out for that,
you know.
But try.
Honestly, though, you know
welfare,
what I said? Yeah, know? That's a common question, but also, you know, right along in that same line of sort of like, why am I here? What is my life purpose?
Uh-huh.
You know, what am I meant to do? And, you know, it's really with those kind of questions, it's kind of one and the same, just in the sense that if there's something that you are truly passionate about and it's something that just comes very naturally to you,
mm-hmm.
I always say that is the best indicator than anything else that you should follow on that path. So if you grew up as a kid, and I always say this to people too, because a lot of things we did as children were things that we had natural talents that we really developed a passion for, and as we got older, we kind of poo-pooed it or brushed it under the carpet because we didn't have time.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, we're like, God, I wish I had followed that, you know, I was doing then.
I said about everything I see on TV, I'm like, I could have been one of them investigator guys,
right.
Forensic
right.
guy.
A lot of people
would have been awesome to do that, man.
But, I mean, look at the type of work you're doing now. So it's along those same lines. It's just in a different way.
Yeah, no, it does have its similarity. So that you do get this information, though. And this is what I find interesting, though, is that it isn't always good news.
It's very difficult. Like,
it isn't always good news.
Well, people bring me orb pictures, and I'm like, well, you know, if it means something to you, that's nice. But, you know, it's not going to mean anything to a ghost hunter because, you know, orbs can be created.
Then you sprinkle pixie dust on them and they go away.
You know. So I feel bad when people bring me orb pictures. I know.
Well, no.
Mateo brought me one. I'm like,
oh.
It might mean something to you, right? You know.
Well,
that's lovely.
I'll give you a hug, but, you know, there's nothing I can do.
I know.
For
what's up,
Amber? You know, everybody has their own thing that they're really excited about and they think it's the greatest thing.
Right.
And then we'd look at it and be like, oh, yeah, that's nice. So what else do you have? You know?
Right. Well,
what else is going on? Yeah.
Amber's.
No, I was just going to say, Terry, she said that that's so true about that room. Holy crap. And and then she said, Amber, that
she
makes typed me,
that out.
Amber, that makes me feel so good, her answer, it really does. So you help
oh,
her.
Oh, good.
That's nice.
Oh, good. That's
good, I'm glad.
Fantastic.
Because that spirit is pretty much there. It's, you know, there so often.
Well,
it's
and just, she said her dad was a musician.
Oh, okay, yeah. Totally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See, you know, the thing is, had you, Jana, had you said to me, oh, it's going to be like your father or your grandfather. You know, well, my father, you know, that wouldn't work because he's, you know, currently living. My grandfather wouldn't play the piano or the organ or anything. He wouldn't know how, you know, so it wouldn't have made sense for me. Obviously, it makes sense for Terry, but there's certain things that wouldn't make sense. That's how I look at astrology nowadays. You know, when you read the horoscope in the paper, it's, you know, it's for 1/12 of the population. So you got to figure some days it's going to really hit your life, but there's going to be, you know, like patterns, you know, just like, you know, sometimes we'll say 50% chance of rain. Well, you know, so maybe today is is one of my days. And so I look at the, you know, I read my little horoscope and I'm like, does this apply to me where I am right now, or does it not? And if it doesn't, then I just, you know, put it aside, and I'm like, well, I'll get my turn eventually, because, you know.
Absolutely.
And sure enough, you know, it seems to work. I mean, sometimes I'm like, wow, this really makes sense. I do have to call and apologize, you know, or whatever.
But yeah, even with any, you know, some of the more popular mediums, like I'm a huge fan of John Edwards.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, every time I see him, I am just incredibly impressed, because I'm like, the information that he comes through with is so solid. And so when you go for a reading, you know, even though I don't do those type of readings, because I'm, like I said, I'm not necessarily bringing through all the, you know, crossed over loved ones.
Right.
But it's like, you want that kind of information that you walk away with and totally feel you got solid info, you know, that was validating and helpful to you in some way. Because otherwise, I'm like, who, you know, like you were just saying about the picture of the orb, it's sort of like, okay, great, but kind of who cares? You know, like, what is that?
Or love me unconditionally. That's not very validating either, okay?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to knock anybody. I'm not here to knock anybody. I really want to make that very clear, but, you know.
No, because everybody has their things.
Yeah.
You know, and to that, like the person who's into the orb, that means a whole different thing to them than it does to us.
And, right. Doug, you got the right response for that, too.
And I think it's true. I really do. If that photo, you know, because I can't say that camera put that there not for a reason. I mean, it could have been because of, you know, that maybe that is an indicator that, you know, your grandfather is following you around or whatever. It really could be an indicator, but I can't say, oh, this is absolute proof of the afterlife, because, you know, because dust, you know, which is a mundane thing, can cause orbs. So really, each individual orb you've got to look at and say, does this mean something to me? You know, and so therefore it may or may not. So I'm not going to just, you know, foo-foo it and say, you know, get that out of my face. I'm going to say, what does this mean to you?
And
try and get a good story out of it. You know, like, what to tell me what it means. And that's what we did. That's pretty much what I tried to do with you.
Right.
With Mateo.
The guinea pig is sitting in the studio here.
It is right here. And, but, you know, it's really difficult. We have to do the break.
Yeah, why don't we take a break right now?
We have to do that because...
Are you enjoying yourself, Jana?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely. All right. You guys are great.
We told you that on the break, and we're going to tell you that here live, but we want you to have a good time.
Good, because we're going to talk about my spirit guides and Scott's spirit guides.
Oh, great. Okay,
Amber's spirit guides and Jana's spirit guides and Mateo's spirit guides. Everybody's spirit guides. We're going to talk about.
Did you get together with Jana before the show or something?
Well, no, I just...
We go way back.
I thought
Oh, yeah, we were chatting.
Yeah, we were at the club last night just chatting about spirit guides till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I just can't tell the topics.
Exactly.
I forgot we have notes here.
And I picked out number 6. I thought, oh my gosh, we have to talk about every. Do we all have spirit guides?
Well, what?
I thought, wow, I can really be creative with that question.
Yeah.
And say that when we get back, we'll talk about everything.
Oh, so you created a segue.
I tried to.
Fantastic.
That's what we try to do in radio, sometimes more successfully than others.
Well, let's have a successful break right now.
Is this one of them with Bonnie Bent?
This is Bonnie Bent with Paranormal News. Yeah, this
excellent.
This is the halfway point between the show. Enjoy this Paranormal News with Bonnie Bent.
Ghostly Talk!
Version 3.0. Hickory, North Carolina is alive with Talk About the Dead. www.hauntedhickory.com is celebrating the paranormal October 3rd and 4th with classes and lectures by Patrick Burns of Haunting Evidence on True TV, Keith Age from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked and Children of the Grave, Tim and Trish Yancey plus Jason Gowan from Encounters Paranormal Radio, Nathan Schoonover of The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Stephen LaChance from Discovery Channel's A Haunting, and Shannon Sylvia of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International. Plus, vendors, a hearse contest, and much more. Participate in a live ghost hunt in the haunted west wing of the Hickory Salt Lock. Haunted Hickory in Hickory, North Carolina, October 3rd and 4th. www.hauntedhickory.com. Make plans to attend now.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Our first story comes from the Atlantic Journal-Constitution. Bigfoot lived in North Georgia and his cousins are still there. That's what a pair of Clayton County outdoorsmen claimed. But if they have definitive evidence to prove it, it wasn't presented at a press conference on Friday, where they had said they would make believers out of everyone. Dozens of mostly skeptical reporters showed up, lured by the flurry of interest in the story since pictures of the supposed discovery hit the internet late last month. Matthew Witten and Rick Dyer said second rounds of DNA testing on what they claimed is a dead 7-foot Bigfoot they said they had stumbled upon while hiking in June in North Georgia is still being completed. Matthew Witten and Rick Dyer said a second round of DNA testing on what they claim is a dead 7-foot Bigfoot is still being completed. Of the three samples in the preliminary DNA test, one came back inconclusive, one contained traces of human DNA, and one had traces of opossum DNA. They didn't produce a body that's in the hidden location. They also wouldn't say exactly where they found the creature or where they claimed they saw a band of others watching them. And they won't let anyone but their own hand-picked scientists examine the body. Witten and Dyer say autopsy on the animal is in the works, and scientists are about to get involved. But one is on vacation until Monday, and two others from Russia have yet to arrive. Tom Biscardi, a longtime Bigfoot enthusiast from Menlo Park, California, with whom the pair have teamed up to promote their discovery, swears it isn't a hoax. Others say the story doesn't have legs. This is becoming like alien autopsy, says Jeff Meldrum, a Bigfoot researcher and a professor of anthropology at Idaho State University. Witten and Dyer haven't done much to satisfy skeptics. They previously posted a video of reported Bigfoot on YouTube, and Witten's brother pretended to be a scientist, then announced it was all done in fun. And a recorded greeting of Witten's phone formally claimed he and Dyer were leading expeditions to find not just Bigfoot, but also the Loch Ness Monster and Leprechaun. Friday, Witten said those were spoofs intended to throw off some of the psychos who had been bugging them since they appeared on a radio show touting their find. Dyer said they teamed up with Biscardi because when you punch in Bigfoot on the internet, the first name that comes up is Tom Biscardi. Biscardi runs an internet radio show and website devoted to Bigfoot under the umbrella of a company called Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. In 2005, Biscardi claimed he had come across a woman in Nevada who had captured two living Bigfoot creatures. He charged about $15 for visitors to his website to see blurry streaming video claiming to show the captured creatures. Friday, Biscardi said he subsequently determined the woman was mentally ill. Our last story comes from Metro West Daily News. Is the USS Salem haunted? The bumps in the night could be explained away. The banging of the deck hatches, open and shut, for easy to ignore. But when more than one person reported seeing a ghost-like figure toiling at the machinery on the USS Salem's bow, Michael Condon wondered if more was at play than the typical groaning of an aging Cold War-era cruiser. Condon, the ship's executive director, says, "Well, I've not seen anything, but I have heard things." Is the USS Salem haunted? A team from Mass Paranormal in Quincy thinks so. The team is planning an all-night investigation aboard the ship on August 23rd and is inviting others to experience the spooky happenings with their own ears and eyes. Armed with infrared cameras and parabolic microphones, Mass Paranormal scoured the decks of the 780-foot vessel back in July. The Salem never fired its guns in combat, but was a symbol of America's power in the 1950s. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
You are invoking the spirits to help you. But the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful. You shall be a toy in their hands.
Bad. Got the phone line in?
Yes.
Yep.
Everything's in.
Jana's like, you hear Jana? She's like, yeah, it's here. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm online. Yes, we
not
are.
Not a bad fade. Okay, here's the critiquing.
Yeah.
Not quite so dramatic at the beginning. You kind of tugged it down a little bit, and now you're doing, as you can hear, nice and easy.
Oh, so go nice and easy.
Okay. Nice and easy the whole way through, yeah. Doug.
Two Sundays from now, it's going to be a train wreck of a show.
No, it's not. You're going to be perfectly fine. That's why we put you back. You're driving the show again.
I am, yeah.
And we did this last time, and it worked fine. It's all good. But I'm going to have to give you a hard time.
Of course.
It's part of that. Go ahead.
We're talking with Jana Hollingsworth of www.janahollingsworth.com, JanaHollingsworth.com.
Mm-hmm.
What a great first half hour. This next one, though, there is something I want to talk about.
Well, right? Yeah, you really locked that down on her the last half hour. So, Jana, you're going to talk about spirit guides, and we're just going to have to hang the phone up right now.
I love talking about spirit guides, so that's not a problem.
I plucked that right out of the list, and I'm like, yes, that is something that I'm interested in, because, I mean, you hear about this whenever you study spirituality and psychic phenomena and everything like that. You hear about spirit guides over and over and over again.
Over and over, yep.
And pretty much everybody is saying that everybody has, you know, spirit guides. Some people say you have one or two core ones and some traveling ones, and you've got, you know, the cast of characters or whatever is
right.
It just
is ongoing.
Just sort of happens, but it's just so difficult to put your finger on, and but there's something comforting in traveling this life, right, the road of life, yep.
With a posse.
With a posse. Okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah, with
a posse. It is a posse. It is.
And I think it's very comforting, but I'm just wondering, like, how did they pick us, or how did we pick them? I mean, how did it come to be?
You know, it's sort of a mutual attraction as far as your energy and what matches up with, you know, because the spirit guides look at us and, just for example, in my own journey, I started out with family members first because it was an energy I was going to feel comfortable with. And as I grew in my powers and my energy, my spirit guides continually change out.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I have the core ones that may have been with me since I was a baby, as I grow and change in my life, so do my guides, so that they can help me with whatever my next steps are going to be. So it's the same with everybody, you know, the same with your own personal evolution. So as you go through your different changes in life, different guides may come in to help you maneuver certain waters. And it's sort of like, you know, if you have an eye problem, you know, you're going to go see a particular type of doctor, you know, so it'll, the same thing with the spirit guide, as you go through a certain kind of problem, you know, a certain guide who has good experience in that area will come in and help you.
Yeah, so I mean, you wouldn't send a mechanic to check out your eyes. I mean, you wouldn't send the right person for the right job. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and so you know, and I totally believe it's true. You know that we all have, you know, at least one or two that have been with us since birth and will stay with us to the end, and then others just kind of switch out as we need them. And you know, a lot of people. That's a very popular question because people always say, "How can I, you know, get in contact with my spirit guides?" And, you know, it's a very valid question, and I always tell them the best way to do it is just to make it part of your daily life so that when you wake up in the morning, even though you may not know them by name, if you just say, you know, call them in and say, "Spirit guides, I'd love for you to work with me today, and if you're having a particular problem that you want help with, you can ask them to help you with that."
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just sort of like, leave it general, if there's anything I need to know today that you feel is important for me, you know, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they'll communicate with you is you could either feel very inspired all of a sudden to do something that you wouldn't normally do,
mm-hmm.
or you could just, you know, all of a sudden show up at a place that you think is coincidence where you were supposed to meet somebody, and you know, you come home and go, "God, it's such a weird coincidence today. I bumped into so and so." But it wasn't really a coincidence. They helped you to get there so that, you know, this meeting could take place because something important was going to happen there. So, you know, they do things like that in ways that we're not thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all can't talk to them or see them or hear them and all that. They work with us through feeling motivated. Sometimes they work with us giving us answers in our dream at night
mm-hmm.
when we dream. So there's a lot of ways they can communicate with us. We just have to be open to it.
Ah, okay.
Interesting.
So you just have to be open. Like you said, you have to be open to it, though, for it all to happen.
But what if you don't agree? I mean, is it possible that they're...
You punch him in the face, Doug.
I mean, no. I mean, it's... Sometimes, perhaps, I mean, they're probably, you know, attached to you, they're looking out for you, things
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
that,
right.
but sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm human, and I either want to, not want to, but I either make mistakes,
yeah,
or I don't listen, because I never listen very well, you know.
He doesn't,
know
I have
that.
To agree, Jana.
I don't.
And they know that, but you know what, they'll still present situations to you,
uh-huh.
and then depending on what it is that you need to learn from that situation, you're going to make your decision either way, even though you may know it's wrong, but there's something there that you have to learn from it. But they sort of, you know, it's just like every person on the planet has had one person who's broken their heart at some point in time. And when you're in it, you may know, this person's bad news, but you have to go through it to experience that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the guides could kind of be saying, "Hey, you might want to watch out for this person," or whatever, but you're going to go headlong into it anyway just because it's something you have to experience.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's like having a parent saying, you know, "You really shouldn't do that, you know, but you're going to do it anyway because you have to go through the experience."
Okay. Yeah, I can relate to that. Jeez.
You know, and they watch over us in that way, saying, "Okay, you know, we're going to bring this person into your life because this is the next lesson you need to learn," or "we're going to bring this situation or whatever.
That just sounds like classic tough love, though.
I don't know. I just think that I have probably the most frustrated set of spirit guides ever. Because I know I have the most frustrated parents ever. And
well, if you answer them like you answer your cell phone, oh, they're losing their minds right now.
Like, his cell phone has been off since 1982.
Yeah. Spirit guides are like, I'm putting him up for adoption. Yeah. We're done with him.
No, I think
exactly. I'm so bad. I
think a lot of that is tough love, though. I mean, they may advise you one way, like right. You said, like a parent would. And it's, of course, you know, even when if you're young and you're a child and you know everything, and your parents are complete morons.
That's
right?
How,
yeah, that's how it was. You're when
gonna,
I was in,
yeah, same
in,
here
in high school, and then of course I learned the opposite.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time to come to the realization.
Scott, do not stick your finger on that light socket. You will be shocked. Oh, you're full of it. Whatever you say. You know, and
let's
I did
try
this.
It again, just to be sure.
I know.
No, I went as far as to take a knife and do it. I thought I knew everything, right? But that's a good example right there. My dad said, hey, go ahead and give it a shot. You know everything.
Yeah.
I wound up on the other side of the room, but I was much wiser for that.
Exactly.
But I did the same thing. I was so bad. But, you know, I mean, although I've been trying to listen a lot better lately. Not answer the phone lately, but I've been listening lately.
But that's what they're there for, and they can
switch
out.
Well, you know, some of us are slow learners, right? Yeah. And some of us, you know, get the message pretty quickly. So whatever your pace is, they'll kind of match you there.
What about, you know, now I'm probably just a difficult spirit guidee, right? What about the incorrigible ones? I mean, there's people in prisons who've like really, you know, really gone off the path.
Oh, no question about it. But that's veering off just a little bit from that, only because that kind of goes back to when we incarnate here, we choose the kind of life and the kind of experiences we're going to have before we come here. So if somebody's going to be a serial killer or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, and have a really hard life, it's sort of like that's discussed before they come here. So, or if somebody comes in and, you know, is born with some kind of handicap that debilitates them for their whole life, you know, they've chosen particular lessons they need to learn from being in that kind of situation or in that kind of body. So, you know, although they, like I said, we all have spirit guides, it's sort of like they chose their situation coming into it, and the guides can, they're probably not tuned in at all, you know, to their spirit guides or worrying about spirit guides if you're a serial killer, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think they're listening to other people.
Yeah,
they're not listening
exactly
to spirit guides. Well, you said that this has been discussed before. They go,
right.
This is what they want to experience from this life. I'm curious though. I'd like to learn about this a little bit more because if you're planning your life out before you live it, right, to learn a particular, I mean, for the reason obviously to learn a particular lesson.
Right.
If you, like you just said, if you have, you want to come into this life with a handicap, you know, to learn, I mean, to imagine, like, you know, I want to learn to appreciate not having this handicap and being able to do the things, right? There's a lesson for that, too. But this stuff's all planned out. This is, I mean, because I hear one side, I hear, well, you know, this is what you make of it, the decisions you make in this life, this is how it's going to turn out. But then I hear you mention, like, okay, this has been pre-planned, so to say. Am I
well,
totally
it's
wrong?
Pre-planned in the fact of, okay, you know what, when I come into this life this time, let's just say, for example, I'm going to be born into this body that has a handicap.
Yeah.
Now, when I get here, you know, I can have all different types of experiences, again, like we all do, depending on what decisions we make.
You could be miserable or you can make the best of
it. We're going to have that body that we have to kind of deal with constantly.
Yeah, okay. But
that's very limiting.
I didn't mean to jump on you there, but I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want to be in this body, and I'm going to make what I make of it. If I want to be miserable and be terrible,
exactly
and be angry at everybody about this thing, I can do that.
Right.
If I want to try and make some, you know, make the best of it I can, you know, that's the lesson. You know,
that's it. And so how you handle it once you get here is still open choice. You know, it's not like fate's like, okay, you're going to be in this body, and you're going to be miserable from the day you're born until the day you die.
Yeah,
no. It's about the choices that you make once you get here.
That makes perfect sense.
I'm pretty sure that when I was planning out this life, I think I planned on being a multimillionaire
lottery
winner. And I think that hasn't panned out yet.
What's going on with that? I told these guys, I wrote it on the order form, like I say, millionaire, lottery winner.
Yeah.
Lay around the house all day long watching Divorce Court.
Right. That was my plan.
It hasn't panned out yet.
It hasn't panned out, so I'm making the most of it.
If you had that life, right, then you would not have learned the lessons that you're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
You would have had to keep reincarnating until you figured the whole thing out. So they're just kind of expressing you to say, okay.
So that's the trick to it. That's the trick to it, right, Jen? If you're really boring, then you're in the last reincarnation of your life and you're getting ready to take off the sled to the sky.
Well, the thing is, if I had done that, I probably wouldn't be on Ghostly Talk, and I probably wouldn't be going to the conventions and things like that, meeting all the people and talking with everybody and learning all this stuff, I probably would be, you know, some kind of lazy bum at the side of a pool. And and it's like...
Don't knock lazy bums at the side of the pool.
Oh, I'm not knocking them.
That has its place, too.
But it's not my road.
It's not every day.
Yes, it's not my road, I guess.
But it is all what you make of it. You know, this really kind of gets me thinking, too, Gianna, that... You know, and I do this, I'm getting obsessive about this too, along with the gazillions of other things I'm obsessive about, but I have thought this stuff through, like, you know, and I think we all think about this stuff on a daily, like, what am I doing here? What is my purpose, right? But I take it one step further, I think, because I mean, I obsess over little decisions, not the big ones, though. I think I obsess over the small ones more, such as, okay, logistically speaking, if I... drive, what was one that just happened here? Oh, yeah, the new mixing board we got, right,
yeah,
Doug?
The new
I got into a squabble with two of the stores, right?
Right.
And the guy's like, well, we only have one used here. Long story short, one of the stores was much further away than the other store was, right? So in order for me, you know, I thought the thing through and said, okay, if I do this, you know, this is just, it's a couple bucks in gas we're talking. It really isn't that big of a deal. But I sat there for like a half an hour going, how can we plan this out to be the most efficient and effective possible, right? When it really isn't that, you know, either way, I'm going to get the same board, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, let's be real. The gas prices the way they are nowadays, I mean, I don't feel like driving 20 miles if I don't have to, right? I obsessed over this, though, for a very long time, where I should just go, okay, go to one or the other, get it over with, be done with this thing. Whereas sometimes the bigger decisions, I'm like, whatever.
Right. But, you know, oddly enough, that's very common.
Really? Why? Can I ask you why?
That's very common. You know, I think that just it sort of boils down more to your personality traits and how your mind works than anything more, you know, big metaphysical or, you know, something like that. It's just sort of like that's a...
I think it's self-rebellion, I think. I can do this to myself and still eat. I don't care. Whatever. Deal with it, right? But no, I mean, people... But the whole point is, though, is that, you know, these little decisions I always seem to obsess over big time. Like, just little things like... Just like planning a day. Like, okay, well, if I go this way around here, it'll be 2 miles shorter to do it this way. And it's more... But it doesn't don't matter.
But, you know, I mean, your mind works like that because you can think things through to death. You know, and driving crazy. And like you said, it's over the little things that are just like, okay, that, you know, I didn't need to go through 3 hours of that thinking
to
really come to that point. But it's just, you know, that's how you process things. It's not, you know, there's not some big, like, oh, my God, it's because of a past life, you know. It's just how your mind processes information.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go through that little process.
But I'm talking about, like, just the whole grand scheme of things, because people always ask, like, well, you know, what's my purpose and all these things? And, well, every little decision that you make. Because, I mean, synchronicity, I find it fascinating, right?
It is.
Me too.
And we've talked about that.
Synchronicity, is absolutely fascinating. And that's why... you know, I always say, and it's been said for a million times, you know, there are no accidents. You know, the people that you're supposed to meet and the situations that you're in are there for a reason because there are always things you learn.
Yeah, and that's where we get into all the fun stuff about that, though, too. Like I was saying, well, if I get caught at that red light, or wait, if I stop and get something to drink at the gas station, if I do this, I do that. You know, all these little things could
skew
an outcome, could change, you know, dramatically. You might not meet that person, or you might not get into that car accident. I mean, I've told that story on here about the accident going to Amber's house, you know.
Yeah.
If I had just, you know, people blowing by me, you know, doing 10 miles over the speed limit, I'm doing the speed limit, you know, and they get into the accident, and I don't. That's just a small example, right? Yeah. That stuff happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people...
You know, it's one of those, if you thought about that every second of your life, you could drive yourself insane.
Oh, I have.
You just live your...
He called me and told me about that for an hour and a half one day.
What was that?
He was like, I really could have died. I mean, it was insane. They were pulling him out with the jaws of life. And, okay, Scott. Yes.
Well, no, if you were bored, you should have told me.
I'm just kidding. It's a good story.
No, I just... Okay, it's your turn, Doug, to thrash on Jana now. Go right ahead.
I kind of like thrashing on Scott.
No, it's fun thrashing on Scott. Let's do some more.
It really is.
Well, go right ahead. You guys just chop in.
All right, here we go. No. Jana, so your weekly column... How challenging is that? I mean, do you get like, tell us about some of the more meaningful and then some of the like, what the heck am I doing this for kind of stories?
Well, you know, it's going to be about, you know, one of several topics, right? Because it's going to be about relationships, your career, you know, your health, the money, you know, it's always about one of those topics. Mm-hmm. So, when you get something, you know, the fun ones for me are when people, you know, actually ask questions either about stuff that we're talking about, you know, tonight about the spirit guides and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just, you know, people will ask about a crossed over loved one, and that's when it can be really fun if the spirit comes back with particular messages for that person, you know, what they would like to see them do with their lives, or
yeah.
if they have, you know, a point they really need to get across that can help that person so much. So those are really, you know, the fun ones to do, because a lot of them are kind of like, oh, you know, I met this person, and what do you think is going to happen? And I get this all the time, is he my soulmate?
Oh, wow.
Because if he's not my soulmate, I don't want to waste my time in the relationship. That's a huge, that comes up over and over and over again.
How do you know when you've met your soulmate? I mean, isn't that something you're supposed to explore with that other person?
Yeah,
figure it out?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm sorry, we haven't streamlined dating to the point yet where, you know, you can...
Hang on, here's your blood type and here's your perfect date.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks.
I mean, matchmakers can only go so far, I think.
I know, you have to put a little effort in there, you know, and sometimes they're just, you know, especially on the girl side, they can just be a little bit oblivious with all that, too. Well, you know... I think he's my soulmate, but he hasn't called me in like 3 weeks. And, you know, I haven't, you know, I keep leaving messages on his cell phone,
yeah.
or, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you might want to consider that he's not your soulmate, and he's just not that into you.
Right.
So,
I have to ask you, honestly, I know we're just going back and forth, but has somebody honestly said that? Like, I think he might be my soulmate, but he hasn't called in like a month.
Oh, you would not believe the story.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
those poor people.
And, you know, I went over to his house the other night, and he had some girl over there, and he told me it was, you know, his cousin, and, you know, just all sorts of bizarre stuff, and you just listen, and I'm like, you know, you don't need a psychic to tell you that.
You know? Well, oh, man.
But that makes it all different, though. That's what we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation, Jana, is that sometimes people, I mean... Like I was
you
saying,
only see what you want to
love
see.
Me unconditionally.
Yes.
Yeah, love me unconditionally.
That's what he probably wanted to hear.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, more power to you. But I'd like to see people be empowered on their own too. Sometimes, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not trying to take away from your thing at all, Jana. But sometimes, yeah, like you said, I mean,
I agree.
You know, like
I agree.
Okay, all right. So
maybe
all
it takes is Jana to say, you know, you might want to keep looking.
Dude, the guy's a player. Get lost. All right, there's somebody out there for you. Take it easy. You'll be okay.
And you're.
Yeah.
And the column.
Shit, my own damn column.
Which
Scott's cranky column. What are you
doing? You know, I just have that column just saying he's just not that into you, and that would answer, like, you know, 90% of the questions.
You know, no, and I've told
we so need a
this
Scott's
be a, this
cranky
be a total
column
bitch
on
session.
GoPro.com.
I've done that with ladies before. Like, I used to love this, and I know we got to go to break here, but we used to in the office and stuff. In the office and stuff, I've talked to several women I've worked with in the past where all they do all day long is just complain about their significant other. And I just suddenly ask them, like, why don't you dump him? All you do is bitch about the guy. Why don't you...
Oh, but I love him.
But I love him! Oh, my God. You are a psychic. You just read my mind.
There you go.
So, no. I'm going to start my own cranky column and be done with it.
I think we need on Ghost and Talk. Or maybe you can contact Bridget Walther and say, hey, you know, I've got this idea.
Give me the shortest column in the world. Shut up and get on with your life. There you go.
You're the column.
I'm just joking around.
The column that you work on, a weekly column, is on www.bridgetwalther.com. That's BridgetWalther.com. I'm sure there's a link from JanaHollingsworth.com, right?
Yes.
You also do workshops, too. We totally didn't get to this.
Workshops. We didn't
Real quick, though. You do workshops. So
I do the psychic development workshop.
Okay.
And since my clients pretty much are all over the country, and out of the country and all that, I just started doing a lot of them via phone because it was just too hard to get everybody together in Los Angeles. So I do sort of like, it's 1 month long. We do, we get together via phone conference call for an hour and a half every week, and we just go through, I give people a bunch of exercises to do to help them develop their psychic abilities, and it's a lot of fun, and just it's really, really great.
Oh, man.
And people really enjoy it.
Well, everybody,
everybody's more psychic than they think they are, which makes it just so interesting.
Well, fantastic. Everybody check that out. And again, the website is www.JanaHollingsworth.com. JanaHollingsworth.com. Okay.
Thank you.
Jana, hang on the line. Don't leave us. We do have to go to break. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a ball.
I know
we had a great time here. Hang tight for 1 second. We're going to go to break here. Doug is at the helm.
So this is going to be just, I'm just going to go to break. And no.
This is going to be clunky
and abnormal. But no, actually, coming up, we're going to be talking with Dr. William Bradshaw.
Sinister Among Us.
Yeah, the Sinister Among Us.
This is going to be interesting.
We go from light and happy to
demon evil.
I wonder what's going to happen in the next hour. How freaky is that? Jana, thank you. Hang on, though.
Okay.
We're going to talk to you briefly after this. Coming up next, Dr. William Bradshaw.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.